podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. So happy you decided to join us. Before we jump in today, I'd like, first of all, if you're liking these podcasts, if you like this one or the 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast or High School Hoops or the Funnel Down Defense Podcast, if you like any of those, go over and check them out. Leave a 5-star review. We love sending them out to the world. It's one of my passions in the world is kind of share this game. But before we jump in, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. It's easy to set up. It's got great customer service, and they are always on the cutting edge of giving players and coaches what they need. And that's why I love them. They not only give stuff away, if you go over and look at Dr. Dish is always giving stuff away and sharing with the community. And that's why I want to share them with you. Mention Coach Unplugged, they'll give you $400 off. That's right, $400 off. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. 14-day free trial. No one else does that. No one else gets the cell phone number and the email for the runner. No one else is being run by a high school coach for a high school coach. This is what I do. This is what I do. I'm not running this other thing. I'm not a businessman. I'm a high school basketball coach trying to help you become a better basketball coach. And to be honest with you, I've done pretty well in my career, and I'd like to share that with other coaches. So go over and check it out, and let's head off to the podcast.
Over here, like we've seen it, like, I mean, guys would get away with being out of shape, you know, and still been able to play at the top level. Not anymore. I mean, I'm watching videos and clips on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram there of players who are playing at Super League and National League and international level over here now. During these times, they're out working out with a ball. They're, you know, they're at it all day. Whereas back in my day, shall we say, the guys would have sitting around watching TV, seeing what's going on.
It would have been too interesting. It'd have been at the pub. Yep. Yeah.
they're definitely better athletes. Like, I mean, the last 5-10 years, it's been phenomenal. You know, all the strength and conditioning stuff that's come into it, the dietary stuff, the nutrition stuff, you know, all the sports psychology is definitely made for better players and better athletes.
I think so too. All right. So I'm going to jump into rapid fire. So here, I'm going to ask you a question and give me one answer. Okay. Okay. I call it rapid fire. One word to describe your ideal player.
Honest.
Okay. If you go to one sporting event in the world, what would it be?
Game 7 at TD Gardens against the Lakers.
So you're saying Celtics versus the Lakers?
Just one game. That'd be it.
So, Coach, did you grow up in the Laker Celtic era?
Yep.
Okay. Big Larry. So people that don't understand that are like old like us, you had to pick, like, you had to have, I was a Laker guy.
One or the other.
You could not be both. Like, you either were a Celtics fan or you were a Lakers fan. People don't understand that it was like, it was Bird versus Magic. It was
there you
like,
go.
You, there was no middle ground. Like,
whatsoever.
Yes. It was.
My best friend is a Laker. You know, he's been right. A Laker all his life, and he's my son's godfather.
I didn't like McHale rubbed me the wrong way for some reason. Great player. But as like, I was a Magic, you know, anyway. Yes.
I was a huge Celtics fan, but I have so much admiration for Magic and the way he played. And I think he gets overlooked in these conversations about the best player.
I think so too. He changed the game. Like, he
played
Giannis,
five different positions.
Like, Giannis is Magic. Like, he can't, I mean, those kinds of guys.
He doesn't have the handles.
He doesn't have the handles.
He hasn't got the vision, but he's
23. He's
there, you
coming.
Go. And he's the athlete that maybe, like, Magic brought that athlete.
That you could play every position. That's the crazy part.
Like the game where he played center when Kareem got hurt.
Hurt, I know.
I mean, I just actually was watching the 30 for 30 on it there a while ago. Like, he just, Magic is phenomenal.
Have you been to Boston?
I haven't been to Boston. I was in New York. My nephew worked in New York for about 14 years. He worked in a bar just off Times Square called The Perfect Pint.
Okay.
So he was he used to go and watch the Knicks play all the time.
So Times Square is not New York. Let me say that for first. Times Square
is not.
It is. Well, it is New York, but it's not like that's tourist. That's touristy New York. That's not New York. That's touristy New York.
We stayed out in Queens. So
You got to get real New York. You'd love Boston. Boston is one of those cities. Boston's one of my favorite cities in the U.S. It's a big city that feels small. So it's not like Chicago or New York or LA. Those cities all feel really big. If you fly in, it's an old town. Boston's
kind of like Dublin, eh?
Yeah, it is. It feels like London in some respects. You can walk places. It feels more condensed than it does. Like, oh my God, this place is just huge. Like,
we actually had great plans this year. We were going to go out to Waymouth to Jimmy Dolan, Coach Jimmy Dolan down there.
Yeah.
With my Irish team this year for our pre-tournament training camp.
Okay.
That was the plan, and unfortunately
everything's getting canceled.
Gone now. Our championships have been deferred and called off to next year.
Yeah. So you gotta get to Boston. You gotta get to Boston.
It's bucket list job, you know.
Definitely. You definitely do. Well, it's like reverse for me. Mine's to get to Ireland, yours to get to the US. That's like it's opposite. So favorite pregame meal.
Very simple, the Mars bar.
Really?
I don't eat before games.
Okay.
It's just something to make sure
I don't tend to eat a lot either, and I tell my players not to either. I say it's better to play on an empty stomach, to be honest with you.
My guys will always see me on the sideline with a Mars bar and a bottle. We have a drink over here called Lucozade.
Okay.
Which is kind of like a fizzy version maybe of Gatorade or something like that. It's got glucose and everything in it.
Okay.
So that's my pregame. That's me.
Okay.
Regardless of what time the game's at.
One skill not being taught in basketball.
Boxing out.
And how do you teach that?
By drilling the hell out of it. And by making people hold themselves responsible for boxing out the player that they're meant to box out.
Right.
And I think that's a big thing. Because we're so athletic now, we're looking to jump and take the ball before we're looking to make contact and hit a player and then go after the ball. And we lose rebounds because of that. And we've lost a lot of rebounds. Now, again, this year, our women's team, I was very, very lucky to have the most dominant big in the league. But we had a girl with her who's an Irish girl called Holly Dunn. And, between those two girls, they were averaging 35 to 40 rebounds a game because they did the right things. They weren't trying to out-jump anybody.
Right.
They were just hitting, making sure that they got good contact, and then they were going after the ball.
Yep, it's contact, and it's find, and then contact, and then go get it. Yeah. And
you make sure you get it.
And the problem is they do the first two, and they don't go get it. Like,
that's it. And they leave it sitting there.
I know.
We got a fantastic kid over here, plays with a team called Marvel City Hawks, an American kid called Katie Fox. Katie is about 5'3", and she has more offensive rebounds in the league this year than anybody else.
Right.
As soon as the bigs and everybody boxes out, she's the first one in there taking the ball out of their hands.
Right.
She's phenomenal at it.
It's so good.
Yeah, we pay particular attention to her.
What do you do to relax, Coach?
Golf.
Ooh, what's your handicap?
The clubs and the swing. I play off 19 at the moment, but I can play a lot.
You can play a little bit.
A lot less than that.
Yeah, we were I think this was pre-kids. We were over. We went to St. My wife and I got to walk St. Andrews and stuff. And
beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
My brother plays it every year.
Really?
He goes every year to play it. Himself and his wife go over to stay in the hotel, and he goes out and plays two rounds of golf there every year.
I used to golf. I used to fish and golf, but it's like it's too much other stuff going on, I think. But,
no, the fishing wouldn't be. I don't think I'd have the patience for the fishing.
I boat fishing's harder for me. I like trout fishing where I'm moving.
Okay.
Because there's always another hole around the next corner when you're trout fishing because you're going up and down a stream. That's my like attention deficit thing. Like I gotta like always be doing something. It's like there's always the better fish around the next corner, so you're always looking.
We're definitely alike like that.
Yes. what coaching technique you think's important?
For me, I think it's been positive. So being positive with your players. Too many coaches.
So you're 90-10. You're 90-10. You're 80-20.
I'm 95-5.
Okay.
But when I need to go, I'll go.
You go to the five, yes.
Yeah, and the five is not where you want to be.
Right.
You know, and Mike
it's that Irish temper. I don't know if they refer to that in Ireland, but they do over here. It's like, ooh, yeah, that Irish temper.
That little bit of temperament there. And I'm sure if you ask any referee in Ireland, they'll probably say it's 95-5 the other way around towards them. But with my players, you know, I've done the other side of it. So that's what I talked about earlier on when you asked, you know, something you've learned from the past or whatever. And I was that coach who used to stand on the sideline and berate the players. And it was just so idiotic. You right. know, I mean,
but that's youth. I write that off as youth in some respects. It's like,
In some respects, for me, it was just like, I probably went a little bit OTT at times as well.
Right.
But like, now I've learned over the last, maybe since I started coaching college basketball, but 16 years, I'm in Carlow now.
Yeah.
And you're dealing with that kind of, you know, 18 to 24 year old kid. And you have to learn that you're not going to get the best out of them if you're constantly on their back.
They'll tune you out.
If you know, they just don't want to know. You know, if you encourage, but sometimes I had an American last year who played for me last year who said, you can't keep giving me compliments when I'm doing something wrong. You have to tell me I'm doing something wrong. And right. I said, look, if you're doing something really wrong, I'll let you know.
Right.
But I'm not going to change my style of coaching and come down on you when I don't need to.
Right.
I mean, that's like, that might be what you're used to in the States, but it's not what's going to happen.
It's life's too short. What's the best player you've seen in person?
Best player I've seen in person. Can I give you one of each? You know, one
sure.
American, yep. and one. So I'm actually going to give you two Americans. Sorry.
Okay.
One of them actually played in Ireland in 95, 85, 86, I think was the season. And then went to Portugal, and then went back and won 3 rings after that. So Mario Ali.
Okay.
So I was very lucky to see Mario play. He was a phenomenal player. But there was another American player that played with him with the same club, Colester, a guy called Kelvin Troy.
Okay.
Now, look up Kelvin Troy. Like, the offers that man got when he was leaving the States were phenomenal. This guy could have played at any level.
Okay.
And his kids have you know, the two girls who have become fantastic players over here, you know. And,
okay.
But a real gentleman, a real nice guy. But man, when that man went on the floor, he was right. a different, it was literally chalk and cheese.
Right.
Nicest guy in the world off the floor. But as soon as he stepped foot on the floor, you better watch out.
I'm telling you. Yes.
For fun.
Yes.
Irish players, then. There have been so many great players over the years. And kind of watching my brother played at the highest level over here in the 80s. And I watched guys like Tom O'Sullivan down in Cork, Francis O'Sullivan, who were phenomenal players. Francis is one of the best coaches I've ever talked to. Loves the game. I'd say back then, Lee McHale, who was probably, everybody said, would probably be the only Irish guy at that time that would have made the NBA.
Okay.
And kind of latter years, kind of the last few years, there's a couple of really good guys. There's a guy down in Cork, though, who's a real legend as far as I'm concerned. Like, he's still playing away.
Has there been an Irishman in the NBA?
Irish American?
Yeah. Well, no, but it's somebody born in Ireland?
No, I don't think. Pat, what was his name? Pat Burke.
Okay.
So I think he played with Orlando for a couple of years.
Okay.
But I think he might have been born in the States.
Born in the States.
We did have a lady like Susan Morin played with the Liberty in the
right.
WNBA.
WNBA.
She's now an associate head coach at St. Joe's.
Okay.
She holds all the scoring and rebound records in St. Joe's. She's
right.
a phenomenal kid.
Phenomenal.
She lives about 20 miles from where I live.
Okay.
So the last guy was a guy called Jaron Noonan. He's a guy from Cork.
Okay.
You know, real tough, small, like he Jaron's about 6 foot, 5'11", 6 foot, but would play against any big that you put him up. You could have put a guy about 6'8", or 6'10", in against him, and I'd take Jaron.
They all have the same descriptions, which is like, great players all have the same.
Yeah, I love toughness.
They all have the same thing. They do, though. You're not alone in that. Who's the best player of all time?
The best player of all time is Michael Jordan. There's absolutely no, like, as I said to you earlier on, the talk about Magic and talk about Larry even and LeBron and Kobe, like that's all very fine. I still think Michael Jordan in his prime now playing in the league would be the best player in the league.
I think he changed the game too.
100%. 100%. He, like, I'm so looking forward to this.
I know.
The ESPN is on tonight. So
I was tweeting about it like 5 weeks ago. Release the dang thing. Release the dang thing.
Let everybody see it now when we're sitting at home doing
right.
nothing.
You know what I mean? So you know what the problem was? I actually had somebody reach out to me, and the problem was they didn't have it done. Like they, okay. It wasn't finished. So they're releasing two. They're trying to catch up because they know that everyone in the world's going to watch this. Yeah.
Even people over here, like you see, there's a lady called Jackie Hurley. She's one of the sports presenters over here in RTE, which is our national station. Jackie plays basketball a bit, but like she's tweeting about it today. Can't wait for tomorrow.
To watch
Netflix, you know. And everybody's saying that. Like we're all kind of on. Just come on, get it out there already. Let's see this thing.
So you know? They know they got a gem. They want to make sure it's good before they do it.
100%. Who's the best player you ever saw? Who's the best player ever?
Well, I saw Michael play in person. I'm in Wisconsin, so I'm voting. I'm hoping Giannis becomes that person and then we can win some rings in Milwaukee. And one of my former players is actually on the Bucks. So, I'm hoping – I think they could have won it this year, so I'm feeling really sad about that.
No, they're last in the conference finals again.
Yeah.
Celtics would have beat them again, you know?
Oh, I don't know, though. I don't know. The
Bucks
had
all – You know what I love about the Celtics, though? And just – you know, I know I'm a Celtics fan. They play as a team.
They do.
You know, they're probably the best team in
they
the
do.
Do you know what I mean? They're not reliant on one or two – superstars.
Right.
They have
pieces.
Maybe five or six stars
who
all know their job and all know their roles and do them to the best of their
ability. And that makes a good team.
Marcus Smart is probably one of my favorite players in the league.
I do. I love him. Best game you've seen in person?
Best game I've seen in person. So I coached it.
Okay.
It was.
Me too. I coached in mine too. The best one I've seen.
We played. A varsity Division I, which is our highest college league. It was our first ever final. And we were point down with 5 seconds to go. One of my guys hit a half-court buzzer beater to win the game. So that's the best game. I've watched that game. Every time I feel sad, I go back and watch that game.
Isn't it amazing what that – we won a state championship, which is the highest level for us, in triple overtime. And in either the beginning of the first or beginning of the second time, a kid did the timeout and didn't have it. And then we got free throws with no time. It was just crazy. Like,
so many of the kids that come over here, it's the same thing. They're on the floor and they're turning to the referee looking for timeouts. And I'm kind of looking at them. Oh, I didn't tell you that. I'm sorry. You know, you're not going to do that over here. You know?
Right. Yeah.
So, but we don't get teed up, which is good.
No, that's good. What's one thing that's helped you become a better coach?
A friend of mine, a couple of years ago, I went through, I went through a really bad period of referees where I was constantly on their back. In 14 games, I had 15 tees.
Oh, my God, coach. That might be a record.
It's So a really good friend of mine from when I was younger, he was an Irish coach, and he just he turned around to me one day, and I get on really well with him, but he's not afraid to tell me when I'm wrong, you know, and he looked at me, he says,
"That's a good friend. That's a good friend."
There you go. He just said, you know, every time you're doing that stuff, you're not coaching your team. So your team are the ones who are getting hurt. Not you, not the referees, your team are the ones who are getting hurt. And I remember going home in my car that evening and thinking about what he'd said, because I got teed up in that game. And then I eventually got kicked out of the game. And when I went back and watched the video of the game afterwards and thought about what he'd said, I just kind of went, wow, you know, he's right. You know, he's 100% right. Best thing that happened to me probably was last year when I was given the head coach's job of the 20s women's team, and first game in the season I got kicked out of the gym, and then I got an email from our elite performance committee, and they said, look, this happens again, you're going to lose your job
right
with the Irish team. And I went, okay, well, I'm not going to let that happen.
Right.
Because I've waited 20 years, 25 years to be an Irish coach. So
right.
That's not going to happen. So I didn't get a T for, I think I got one technical the rest of the season. I got one technical this season. And
right.
like I'm coaching two different teams. So
right.
like that's.
I think that's a great takeaway for anybody that's listening to this. I've learned that too. Like early in my career, it's like Bobby Knight was like, yeah, it was. I was all over people, but I have learned that. Don't get me wrong. I'll get on them if I need to get on them.
Absolutely.
But most of the time, my guys are the ones that need work more than the officials. Yeah, you know.
We brought in another good thing this year. Start of the year, we said anybody gets a tee, player, coach, whatever, it's €10.
Well, that's
so every time you get teed up, you get €10. Yeah. And, you know, the end of the season, we go and have a party with it.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it wasn't that full.
But, well, so it wasn't that much good. Of a – No. Give me your – what's your favorite quote? I think you sent it to me, but
– Yeah, it's an old kind of Bobby Knight quote, and I'm sure somebody else probably said it before him, but that's where I heard it is, you know, fail to prepare is to prepare to fail, you know? I mean, it's – your preparation is everything. You prepare for the team that you're meeting. You prepare your players in the way you want them to play and a way that you know they're able to play. And then, you know, you've done your job, you know?
I agree. What's one word to describe your coaching style?
Loud.
I love that. I love it. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Best coach of all time.
As states or
anywhere.
Okay. I don't know. Like
you can pick one actually. From each if you need to politically.
Yeah, I think that'd probably be a little bit better. Like, from what I've seen, Pop is an exceptional coach. For me now, even after watching the likes of, memory block here now, of Phil Jackson and these guys, and Pat Riley over the years. I just think Brad Stevens is, and I'm a Celtic supporter. I just think he's so smart. I mean, every time there's a timeout, he comes out of a timeout, and they're on offense. If you got an offensive out of bounds, it's a bucket every time. I'd say his percentages out of timeouts are just ridiculous.
Right.
I just think he's a really smart guy. He's very, very calm. I love the way he coaches. I love the way his teams play for him.
I love how he can do that. I wish I could do that. I wish
be as calm as that
and be so cerebral during it. I think it's the player in me that just like he's just so like I would love to know what's going on in that brain. Like, you know what I mean?
But they're like that's and no disrespect to you or me or any other coach, but that's the difference.
That is.
That's the difference between being that next level guy. So, like the footballer over here, Roy Keane, I'm sure you've heard of him.
Yeah.
Like the soccer player. Like Roy Keane was captain of Manchester United for years and captain of Ireland. But like he was cerebral. He was the one who was, you know, always ahead of everybody else, always thinking of everybody else, thinking right. about his teammates as a player. And that's what made him better than everybody else.
So I'm going to, before I ask the last question, Is basketball like I don't want to say this in a wrong way, but is it a second class sport in Ireland? And do you have a hard time getting the athletes to play basketball when they're 7, 8, 9, 10 in Ireland?
So in Ireland, it's football and hurling are first. So okay. there are national sports, GAA,
okay,
Gaelic Athletic Association. Then next would be at the minute probably soccer, I'd say.
Okay.
Because kids have a great chance of coming or playing here and then moving to play in England in the Premier League and stuff like that. After that, then would be rugby, which is real American football without the pads and the helmets and all
right.
that kind of stuff.
Yep.
You know, real men's game.
Yep.
And then basketball.
Okay.
You know, the funny thing about it is that, like, participation wise, there are more people playing basketball than any other sport apart from the GAA in Ireland.
Wow. Okay.
Like there's over 200.
But I'm saying it's a finite number. It's a pool that you're picking from. And if you're not, that's the hard part. Like kids in U.S. play, if you're a good athlete, you're going to play baseball. You're going to play football. You're going to play basketball. You're going to find one of those that you can.
And what we get over here is we get a lot of kids who dual sport. So like we talked about Dana earlier on.
Right.
Claire Melia, who was the captain of that. And Claire was with St. Joe's for the first half of the year.
Right.
She left just after Christmas, and she was rookie of the week out there. Like, her numbers were ridiculous as a rookie. But she also played Gaelic football for her county.
Okay.
You know, so you find that a lot of our best athletes probably play two sports. Some of them play three sports.
Right.
It's crazy. You know, I mean, Susan Moran herself, who Hall of Famer in St. Joe's and in Ireland, and Susan played international tennis as well. You know, so.
Right. So the really good ones do multiple things.
To do. They do. And me as a coach, I've seen in the college situation, I allowed them to do that because I think if you ask them to pick one or the other, you're going to lose out.
Yeah, you are. Do you like halves or quarters?
Ooh, that's a good question. I like quarters. Yeah, I like quarters.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you can get more time to talk to the kids if things are going wrong. I would like to see some of the stuff that you guys do in the States implemented here. I'd like to see the on-court timeouts. I'd like to see things like that allowed in FIBA. I think it'd be. I think it'd make for a better game. I don't want the TV timeouts and all that kind of stuff.
Every 3 minutes, it ruins the flow. Trust me.
At that tournament, at the Belfast Classic, with all those Division I teams, and I'm sitting courtside with Dave with Hopla, and we're watching the game, and next minute the game stops with 2 minutes to go, and I'm going, "What's going on, Dave? No one called a timeout." And
right.
You have to explain it to me, you know.
TV timeout. Do you think jump ball? Yes or no?
No.
I think it should be gone. I personally think it's a part of the game that should be gone. It's like
ball, start of the game, end of story. Alternate.
I don't even think you should do it at the start of the game. I think the home team should get the ball, or the visiting team should get the ball, and then just alternate possession. Because I don't know about you, but the officials have gotten really bad at throwing the ball up.
Yeah. I agree. The guys over here, you can imagine as well. We're not the tallest country in the world, so most of our officials are – maybe 5'9" or 5'10", and they're going in with guys that are 6'8". They don't want to be in there.
Well, and they haven't practiced it. They're not when I played, everything was a jump ball. So they were practicing it more. They're not even practicing it.
Referees don't do enough practice as far as
I know. I hope would FIBA or somebody will come in and say, let's just get – it's an archaic thing. The jump ball is archaic. Let's just get rid of it.
I could deal with that. Yeah, I wouldn't mind that. But if not that, then just the one that we do it over here. So we're alternate. So
yeah, it's one
jump start of the game, and away you go.
Shot clock, yes or no?
Yes, definitely.
And length?
24 is good with us at the minute. We did have 30 second shot clocks over here. I think anywhere 24 to 30, I'm easy with.
Okay. Easy with. 3-point shot. What's the right distance?
I think the NBA line is a little bit too far.
I do too.
I think FIBA line is good. FIBA line is good. What's that? It's about 28 feet or something.
I think FIBA is about right. I think the court is getting too small.
Yeah.
It needs to get wider.
Yeah.
And it probably needs to be 94 everywhere. Like, we're 84 in our high school. It needs to be 94 everywhere, and it needs to be wider. Like, the bodies are just getting so big.
So you're 84 long, isn't it?
In high school, 84 long in high school.
Wow.
And we're playing guys that play Division I basketball. Like, legit. Like, it's like,
that's way too small.
And the 3-point line is the top of the key.
Yeah, no, that's too close as well. Yeah,
I
think the FIBA line is good.
I think it is too.
If do you change size of ball then for men's and women's?
Yes, it's 28 and a half and 29 and a half or whatever it is.
Yeah, same here, 6 and 7 over here.
Yeah, it's perfect. All right, coach. So two things. First of all, you've broken my record on podcasts. So we both like to talk over there 2 hours. So nice job. we broke the record. That's the first thing. Second thing is, do you have any parting words for the listeners? And is there any way that someone in the States can watch this? Like, can they watch your team? Is there any way to do that?
Oh, yeah. Our Facebook channels, Facebook page, we live stream all our home games.
Okay.
Every home game is live streamed on IT Carlo Basketball.
Okay.
Facebook.
So that's good for the Americans that their parents can watch and stuff.
That's actually the reason we started doing it.
Okay.
And it's really great. Now what we do, this year, we do back-to-back games. So our men's game would be 12:30 in the morning here.
Okay.
And women's game would be 3:15 in the afternoon. Okay. And so Caitlin would come in and literally live stream DJ's game, and then DJ would come in and stream Caitlin's game. And it was great, you know. I mean, it's fantastic for those back in the States being able to watch their kids play, and even for our own supporters who aren't able to make it to the games because they might be away on, you know, with their kids doing something. They're able to sit down and watch it wherever they are.
That's awesome.
So we're going for the first time ever, we're going Friday night games next year.
Well, that'll be great.
So, and we're hoping like that. We did it twice this year, and the crowd we had at the game was phenomenal. It was the biggest crowd we've ever had.
Is there, I don't know if in Ireland, fish fries are a big deal on Friday nights in the States.
Fish and chips.
Fish and chips, man.
Fish and chips. Yeah, it used to be a big thing. It's not so much anymore.
Okay.
But you get the older crew would definitely still be into the fish and chips on a Friday.
Friday, and then come to the game. All right. Any parting words, Coach?
I suppose, like, enjoy what you do. You know, when you stop enjoying what you're doing, walk away.
Right.
Be approachable, be helpful, and, you know, be as good as you can be for the people that you're coaching.
I think that's a great takeaway. And I think, I don't know, I've been in quarantine for 5 weeks. I'm missing my kids. I'm missing work. I'm so ready to go back to work. Like,
can't wait.
I know. I want to see my players. I'm not ready to retire. Yeah.
We can't even play golf over here at a minute. Golf courses are closed as well. So, like, that's something I could be doing.
I know. And I'm eating too much. I don't know about you, Coach.
Well, that's an easy thing for me. Yes. I'm watching a bit too much TV at the moment.
I am watching too much Netflix. All right. Thank you, Coach.
God bless.
Hey, everybody. Hope you enjoyed that. If you want to hear more of these, go over and join ttroops.com. 14-day free trial allows us to do this, and then subscribe, like, jump up and down, do whatever you got to do. Tell us what you want to hear in the future, steve@ttroops.com. All right, have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.